Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, we have Morten Andersen, Hall of Famer Morten Andersen, one of those interviews where we didn't expect it to happen. He actually hit us up. He was coming through New York. He and his son are huge AWLs, so it was an awesome interview. We talked about the kicking career, probably the best kicker of all time. We talked about his comeback. We also have our good friend Jerry O'Connell on the show in studio to do the worst slash best Mount Rushmore we will do all summer. It is the Mount Rushmore of fantasy football selection number, draft selection numbers. And it was just as confusing as I just said it. So it is stupid. It's funny. And Jerry is the man. We also have a little fire fest. And what are we going to do today, Hank? Jimbo's? We'll do, we're doing FAQs. We have all that ready to go. Before we do that,
that's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download the Cash App right now, put in code Barstool. You get $5 off, and you get $5 to the ASPCA. That's $5 actually for free. Today is Friday, August 23rd. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. And football week zero is here.
I'm so excited. You hear that sound, Big Cat? You hear that sound?
Yeah.
You know what that sound is? It's people finally getting mad about sports again. And that's what I love the most about the start of football season is you can finally find a release for all this anger you've pent up, because it actually makes you feel better to get mad about arguing about sports. And now that we have real games, it's time to get angry.
I watched it happen slowly on my timeline, my Twitter timeline, the last few days. The change of, like, baseball, people still fucking talking about basketball, shut up, you nerds, into football, where everyone has the previews and their predictions, yep, and their fantasy football and their weird fantasy football podcast gets announced, and all this stuff happens, and it's slowly the tides turn, and it's like we walk into a room with all of our friends and we're like, hey, we're back. This is great. I've noticed a few, like, of those basketball nerds be like, hey, 60 days till the NBA season starts.
Nope.
Or 58 days. Shut the fuck up. This is our time. We get this. We have the entire fall. No one cares about your sport until after the Super Bowl. Football, week zero, meaningful football, mm-hmm, is back.
Well, people start caring about the NBA on Christmas Day. That is the official start of the season. They should just start it at that point and then move on from there, because, yeah, football, we own the fall. That's actually a great idea for a t-shirt. We own the fall. Fuck, that's good.
The falls are for falls for the boys.
Falls for the boys. I like it. You're right. Like, you see people talking about actual meaningful shit now when it comes to sports. We can forget about getting upset about stupid inconsequential stuff like climate change or which colors are the best and arguing about that. And we can finally get into getting mad about sports. And I fucking love it. And there's all these storylines that I had forgotten about over the summer that I'm getting reintroduced to, and I love it. I'm rediscovering what I'm excited about. And the first thing that I saw when I was reading these previews for the Miami-Florida game, we were going to have a fucking Australian punter with neck tattoos, 6'4", weighing 245 pounds. I was watching punting highlights today, and I was getting excited about it.
We also have the classic. I'm so happy they started with these two teams because the entire broadcast is going to be talking about returning to glory. Yep. And are these team officially back? Can we get back to, you know, Steve Spurrier, Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer, Florida? Can we get back to the U in the 80s and early aughts? And guess what? On Saturday night, Imagine Dragons is going to hit, and it's going to feel so damn good. I assume that Imagine Dragons has a song for this college football season.
Yes.
Because if they don't, then, like, the whole world. That's actually more of a pressing issue than climate change. Mm-hmm. Is if Imagine Dragons, if we turn on our ESPN on Saturday night and it's some random band we've never heard of. So I'm just going to assume it's Imagine Dragons.
Agreed.
And I'm going to say I'm already got chills.
Yes. Even if it's Fall Out Boy, that counts as Imagine Dragons, I would say.
Yes.
30 Seconds to Mars, that counts as Imagine. Technically, that is Imagine Dragons if you're watching, like, a preview for a Saturday night football game.
Yeah, Maroon 5, their hard stuff, that also counts as Imagine Dragons.
If you're drunk enough, Maroon 5 could be considered Imagine Dragons light.
Yes,
agreed.
Yes,
I'm looking forward
to Diet Imagine Dragons.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Dan Mullen walking the sideline. Dan Mullen, he's got like a big wide face, and he always looks concerned about stuff. He always looks like he's convincing his body not to turn into Brett Bielema's body. Just by, like, the sheer force of will. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the return of Manny Diaz, former Temple head coach, making his return to the U this weekend, trying to bring him back. There's just so many awesome storylines.
And Manny Diaz is the perfect type of Miami coach where he walked in the door and was like, I'm bringing the U back, and then immediately started doing shit that pissed everyone off and was slightly shady. And that is, like, you can't go down to Miami and be like, you know what? We're going to just out-recruit everyone by getting there and, you know, knocking on doors. No, Manny Diaz had that boat party that he went through Miami and was blasting. And I think he did something where he showed up to another guy's football camp. He's doing the things that brings Miami back. So I'm all in on Manny Diaz. And, I'm just excited. This just, like, five-minute talk has me excited.
Me too. What about the turnover chain? Is the turnover chain back or did it get the done chain? Did they put the Dunn chain on the turnover chain? Two chains? Boy?
Paul Chryst killed the Dunn chain. I mean, the turnover chain. He did. When Paul Chryst, who has, well, he's like, he never swears in his entire life. His mom literally yelled at him for swearing on national television.
Real swag is
and
no
he
swag.
Said, turnover chain my ass. I think when the Wisconsin head coach, who the only thing he changes in his outfit is which shade of gray he wears on his hoodless sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. When he says turnover chain my ass, it's over. And they tried it last year and it was weird and awkward. So I think it's over. I think it's done.
They should just make it a turnover jewel.
Just like a ring or what?
No, like a jewel.
That you're going to lose that jewel.
Like you vape.
Yeah. Oh, like a double. No, like the jewel is done.
The players aren't allowed to vape, so it's like if you catch an interception, like, this is your chance.
That's not bad. I could see, like, Fresno State getting into that.
You thought it was like a diamond.
Yeah,
like a
we were talking about jewelry. My brain naturally followed to, like, is it a gemstone? What are we talking about?
You're far gone, far over the jewel days.
Oh, yeah, I'm smoking heavy cigarettes now. My jewel days are in the past. I'm strictly on a health regimen.
It should actually be a cardboard cutout of Jewel the singer, and then you hook a vacuum up to her mouth, the back of her mouth, and then you have her actual Jewel.
She blows the Jewel smoke through her missing tooth.
Yes, boom, done. Okay. And then she's got bling bling jewels in her ears.
That if Alaska had a football team, that would, you know what? Jewel lived her entire life on Grit Week. I don't know if you know this about her. She lived out of a van for like 6 years when she was trying to make it.
Yeah, we know. Every song was about that.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, this is kind of dating yourself. I was actually watching the roast of Rob Lowe the other day, and she was on it. And I was like, I have no idea who this is, but they kept referencing her and roasting her. But yeah, that's
she should make a comeback by just changing the spelling of her name to J U U L.
Jewel was Rihanna before Rihanna. I'll say it.
What?
That's strong.
What?
That's strong.
All right, let's. We also have to, before we get to our Fyre Fest of the week, and then we have Mount Rushmore with Jerry O'Connell and Morten Anderson coming up with a great interview. We got to do barstoolgold.com/PMT. Go get it right now. You can watch Morten Anderson in studio. And we also have new shirts coming out for the fall. We have Cocho Hold That Tiger shirts coming out right now. They're out. And get ready because we got some Larry shirts coming up. No one knows what they look like. Mm-hmm. But we have some Larry shirts coming out in a week, and we'll sell the stock like we always do and get Larry into the super contest. By the way, someone remind me on Monday, I have to get Larry into the super contest.
Okay, done. Put a calendar in.
Someone remind me that, because I'm totally going to forget, and then we actually will be committing fraud.
Yes,
first Larry to ever make it two seasons.
Well, let's not count our goldfish
Sorry.
Yeah, so Larry still has like a week and a half to make it, but yeah, he would be the very first Larry to survive for a full off season. And it's tough.
He's chonked.
It's tough
too.
On us. Yeah.
And the whole move.
That's true.
A move.
God damn. This
shout out Spider.
Resilient.
Yeah. Shout out Spider. He kept Larry alive. All right. So before we get to Fyre Fest, we had two golf visuals we have to talk about. Phil Mickelson now has a six pack, I think, and is skinny. And then Brooks Koepka, just an absolute man rocket, did the body issue, and I think everyone came in their pants right away.
Yeah, just guys being nudes. Just Blake showing off on the golf course, the old 19th hole behind him. He looked good. He was intimidated. I saw today on the golf course, he was wearing a pair of Nike shoes, but he was doing the thing that the kids do, and he left the tag on it.
Off-whites. Off-whites, dude.
Yeah, pretty sick.
Come on.
I don't know how comfortable I am with the idea of golfers getting hot. Because that was always a sport that you could just like point at and be like, I'm probably in better shape than a lot of these guys. But Phil concerns me. Like, I don't think that's a healthy body type for Phil. His body has to be just so confused after living for how many years? Like 45 years, just as kind of like a lump of clay. And now he's sculpted. It's weird. It's a weird transition for him.
It's a weird transition. And Phil, it also might be the only guy, I think he looks worse when he has clothes on. Because I didn't think he had that underneath him. And then when you see him with a t-shirt, you're like, oh, he's still got those man boobs. No problem. So maybe he just hasn't changed his clothes. But I agree. Phil Mickelson getting skinny, that shouldn't happen. That fucks up the whole everything we know about golf and Phil Mickelson. I can't root for him when I see him like that. Brooks on the other side, I mean, I said it, but it's basically the difference between tasteful nudes and gross nudes. Mm-hmm. Phil Mickelson, gross nude. Brooks, tasteful nude.
Agreed. I think Brooks looks fantastic. I think they should have asked that
so
guy,
hot.
A Fib Barn Rat, is that the guy's name, that vapes out there?
Yeah.
Speaking of vaping, they should have just asked him to be in the body issue, just covering up his genitals with a sick cloud. Just like a big exhale. That would have been awesome.
I feel like it was the reverse of Phil, though, where it's like, I thought Brooks would be a little more jacked, but once the shirt came off,
it was like a little... No. How could you say that?
Dude, Brooks,
I'm just being honest.
Brooks has a good body.
He looks like he's got guns on the course, and there wasn't, you know, as much definition as I was expecting.
No, he's a smooth boy. I did like the fact that he had the farmer's tan, though. Like, they didn't airbrush that out. That was nice.
Hank, how could you say that? He was a fucking chiseled Adonis, dude. He didn't have 1 ounce of fat on that body.
I thought he looked great. And, like, so the one thing about golfers is their tans, like, between the farmer's tan and the forehead tan, that you can't Photoshop those. That's how strong the sun is. The sun can defeat computer programming. The fucking sun.
Yes. Yes, the fucking sun. Hank, I think that was fair of you to be honest, but you obviously were wrong. You know that, right?
Of course, yeah.
He looked great.
Yeah, Brooks, he looked great.
Another fun fact about Blake that Liam pointed out to me is that those shoes that you're talking about with the tag, you made that same joke because Blake Griffin was wearing those same exact shoes
van
on Grit Week.
Oh, okay.
So he was doing a little swagger jacking of Blake Griffin.
He was doing a little Blake on Blake violence.
He saw what the Blake of the Year had to do to win, so he was trying to take those steps.
Okay, I like it. He's a competitor.
Yeah. It's a copycat league.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do our Fyre Fest. Hank, why don't you start?
My first Fyre Fest is I still haven't got that laundry bag. I think about it every morning. every single morning, I'm like, fuck. God damn, I wish I had that bag. Maybe this weekend.
You got to secure the bag. There's going to be some dry cleaner walking around Brooklyn wearing just like a shitload of obscure Barstool merchandise from 7 years ago.
Yeah. And then my second, that's my real pressing fire fest of the week. My second one is that I sit next to Marty Mush, who's like Barstool's gambling guy. He just gambles all day, every day. He was preaching yesterday about the Tigers plus 400. Got to take him. In my head, because he's always like spouting off, I was like, oh no, like, you sound crazy. I would never do that. Maybe I thought about it for a second. I was like, you think I should? He's like, yeah. And I was like, why? He's like, just because it's plus 400. And I was like, forget about it, Marty. You're dumb. Of course they won. Of course it hit.
Yeah.
So that was tough.
Even a blind pig finds an acorn. That's what we say.
That was the second time. I think the Astros have been on the wrong side of the two biggest upsets in MLB history, like in the last decade, and it's happened in the last 3 weeks. They lost the Orioles a couple weeks ago, plus 385 or something. Then this, the Tigers, Hank. That's one of those bets, if you get it on your radar, you have to take it. It's like doing an office pool for the Powerball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If someone mentions it, you have to do it, because if you don't, you know it will hit.
A little spin zone for you, though, Hank. If you had won that bet, you probably wouldn't have wagered like a regular unit for yourself, since it was such a heavy underdog. And then when you win those bets, the first thing that you do, you're like, shit, I should have bet a lot more money on it. So you saved yourself of thinking about what might have been.
True. But yeah,
there you go.
You're right though, Big Cat. It was like all day. I was like, what? Like, you're an idiot. You should have just done it, and not thought about it. But whatever.
Yeah. All right, PFT. What do you got?
My fire fest of the week is that the Popeyes chicken sandwich has been sold out all week during lunch, and I haven't been able to get it. I've tried very. I had it last week, so that was cool. But once you start thinking about Popeyes, just like you guys were talking about, like when you hear Powerball, when you hear somebody say Popeyes chicken sandwich, or you see one of 5 million people tweeting about it, you want to get it. And every single place in New York has been sold out of chicken. I don't know how you sell out of chicken, but they've managed to do it. And so I've just been fiending one all week long, because I got to try the spicy. I've had the regular, but I haven't had the spicy one yet.
I've been lost on this whole entire thing that Popeyes... The fact that Popeyes didn't have a chicken sandwich is a shock to me. And then the fact that everyone is going crazy for it is even more shocking, because it's like... It's a chicken sandwich. You can get a chicken sandwich anywhere, right?
It's a good sandwich. It's very, very good. Unpopular opinion, the Popeyes chicken sandwich is good. I'll die on that hill.
You should get it.
No, it's really good, and I need to have another one. I've thought about actually walking to a Popeyes. That's how pressed I've been to get this sandwich, is I've thought about walking like 6 blocks to purchase one.
That's insane.
Yeah, my other fire fest of the week is the Amazon rainforest is on fire, but whatever.
Yeah. It's only the Earth's lungs.
Yeah, probably.
It's not a big
happens
deal, right?
All the time. Yeah,
we're basically just vaping a lot. The Earth is just in their teenage vaping phase.
Yeah, is the Amazon rain? Does that have anything to do with Jeff Bezos? Did he sponsor it?
Probably
the failing Amazon rainforest. Very unfair.
He probably lit it on fire with his drones that were just flying around, just delivering packages to random places.
Good point. Yeah, they probably just dropped by mistake an incendiary bomb that was meant to be sent to like some weirdo in Idaho. They dropped it in Brazil instead.
Get Jared in a water bottle down on the first plane down there. Take care of it.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. Jared Goff could save that entire thing right now. All right, my fire fest. I have two. One is Max Kellerman keeps talking about how he created the boat, and it's pissing me off. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point now where I'm just going to do passive-aggressive things where I retweet every time he says it to let other people attack him, because I'm so frustrated that he actually thinks he created it. And I actually don't know. I don't know if we even created it. I think Gaz might have created it, Hank.
Blake created it.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
Blake himself.
Might have created
it.
Yeah, it came. Yeah, right. It came from this, like, our little world. But I'm not even saying that that this show specifically created it. I think it was someone in the Barstool world / Blake, and it's been around for 5 years now. And the fact that Max Kellerman thinks he just made it up on the spot yesterday is driving me insane.
Yeah, and he's very he has no shame about it whatsoever. He's been saying like, I just came up with this. Isn't that great that I came up with this? He's retweeting people being like, hey Max, I'm so excited that you came up with the term boat. And he's like, yeah, I know. That was it. That was my biggest hit since that awkward rap video that got leaked like 6 months ago.
Max, those fucking people are our fans, and they're being sarcastic, you dumb piece of shit. It's true. Yeah. They are.
Yeah.
Let's see how many people. You know what? Do this. Tomorrow, tweet at Max Kellerman and say, thanks for creating the boat. And then we need to put a code word in there so we know it's our fans.
The code word is... I'm trying to think.
Oh, no, how about,
I think one that would get under his skin a lot, like skip. The code word is skip somewhere in the tweet.
Yeah, hey, yeah, hey.
I'm really
Max. Thanks. Go ahead.
I'm really glad I don't have to skip First Take anymore. Now that you guys are coming out with great terms like the boat, something like that.
Yes, shout out Max.
Maybe capitalize the S and skip occasionally. I don't know. Yes. We'll see.
Perfect, perfect. All right, so I also have. I've been switching to black coffee because I'm trying to like watch my diet because I have a kid and I don't want to die early and all this fucking stupid shit that you have to do. Like, it's so lame that I have to actually think about this stuff now. But I've switched to black coffee and it's the worst.
But your kid drinks milk all the time, so isn't milk healthy?
Yeah, I know, but. No, I think you're supposed to drink it until a certain, like, until you hit, what's it called? Not menopause. That's not.
Puberty.
Yeah, menopause. When your metabolism goes down and your tits get big. Menopause.
Yeah. Dude,
for men. Strong bones, though.
Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh would be very upset with you about all this. Quitting milk.
It sucks, dude. It sucks, but it does feel badass to say to everyone when they're like, do you want a little cream? You're like, nah.
Yeah.
But then I like cry a little bit as I drink it because I'm like, this is just garbage.
I feel like when you drink black coffee, you end up drinking like two sips and always throw it away.
No, black coffee, I drink black coffee just because I'm lazy and I don't feel like making the trip to the fridge to get creamer or making the trip to the grocery store to buy it. So I just drink it out of sheer convenience, and it tastes so bad that it actually does a better job of waking you up than coffee with cream in it.
But you drink, if you go to like Starbucks, you get cream in that.
A little bit, yeah. I'll be like a little bit of cream. Yeah. Also, sometimes I don't feel like saying like a little bit of cream, leave some room for cream. And I just get lazy with my words. I just end up drinking something I don't like. But that's what being a guy's all about.
Right. So I'm doing that and it's the worst. And I can't recommend it to anyone because it's absolute hell. And it's like the whole eating well thing just sucks. It sucks.
That does suck. It's painful to hear you say it. And I was about to say that Harbaugh must be very upset with both of us for our Fyre Fest because you're swearing off milk and I'm complaining about not being able to eat a nervous little bird that makes you nervous with its energy all the time. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we switch. Maybe I'll drink extra milk, you eat extra chicken.
That works for me.
Well, Jack Sprat situation.
Technically healthy. Yeah. All right, let's get to our Mount Rushmore with Jerry O'Connell. So we actually just randomly saw him in the office. He was doing other shows, and we're like, well, he's a fantasy football guy. We're fantasy football guys. So we did the single most ambitious / dumbest Mount Rushmore possible. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, here he is, Jerry O'Connell. Okay, we now welcome on a recurring guest and friend of the program. It is Jerry O'Connell, JOC.
Oh, young man. Jock. Guys, what a fun time.
He is taking
Commenter,
over.
Cat.
Yes, love it.
So good to be back.
I love hearing that from you.
Yeah. You know what? Since I've been here, you are now a father?
Yes.
How is that?
Good.
It's not driving you crazy?
No, I mean a little bit, but good. I mean, I'm big into not. I assume that someday my son will grow up and listen to everything I say, so I'd rather not be like, yeah, he fucking sucks.
It's so funny because I know my kids are probably listening to this, and they suck.
They're terrible.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Not the smartest.
What were they like as babies?
Probably won't go to college. Unless you pay for them.
Get them on the rowing team.
Fake it out.
Well, they're not rowers, but I take a lot of photos of them on rowing machines, which will be super easy to Photoshop.
Yeah, they're not rowers, but you are enrolled in an Adobe class right now.
I did. You know what? Like a little sports story about kids, and you're about to find this out as you trudge down this road of parenthood. I'm not an athlete by any means.
Fencer, we know. I mean, dude, you fenced to NYU.
Cat,
we get
the best.
It.
So fun to be back here. Oh man, but I put my kids in a soccer school, a soccer camp,
and an academy.
Yeah, bought them the cleats. Bought them the shorts, the Umbros, right?
Yeah. Shin guards.
Umbros are coming back.
Got them the shin guards and everything, and they were like, we live in like Calabasas, California. And they were like, we don't want to do this. Like, this isn't what we want to do. And I was like, you're going to go. And, like, I want you guys to try as hard as you can. This will help Dad down the road with tuition and all that sure. stuff. Like, really, I need you girls to try your best. And so I put them in it, picked them up. A couple days pass, and my phone rings. And it's a number I don't recognize, and I immediately pick it up because I love that game. And someone says, hey, Mr. O'Connell, which is kind of weird, and you're going to get that now that you're a parent. The people are going to call you Mr. Cat.
Mr. Cat.
Yeah, all the time. And he says, hey, this is Coach Jamal. I coach your daughters in soccer, and I need to talk to you. And I was like, time froze for me, and I was like, this is it. And like, this is what like – Earl Woods, like yeah, this is what Tiger's dad like
US
went
women's
through. Like,
national team.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking
fast track.
Maya Hamm,
sure, the greatest.
Yeah. I mean,
Megan
like,
Rapinoe.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe. Yeah. Yeah,
we're going for gold.
I think I'm like gonna like. There's no greater like, no greater like feat than representing your country in the World Cup. Wow. Like,
how old are your kids, by the way?
At the time, they were five. And I was like,
no, you know when they're five.
Yeah.
Like, there are some Argentinian kids that get signed to, like, Real Madrid.
You know winners
five.
And losers as
I thought for sure this guy was about to say, your one daughter, I want to take her to Germany.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She wants to, she has to train, like, in the German system. And he said, listen, your one daughter, Dolly. And I went, yeah. And he said, she shows no interest in soccer whatsoever. And I feel bad taking your money. And then a wave of anger came over me. And I said, listen, Coach Jamal, I don't pay you to teach my kids soccer. I pay you to watch them 3 hours a week.
Right.
Just make sure they're alive when I pick them up, and I don't want to hear from you again.
Uh-huh. I'm convinced that youth sports and sports in general by extension just occurs because parents want their kids out of the house. So they get their kids doing activities as they're growing up, and then when they get older, now there's a sports league for them.
It is super interesting how kids become Tiger Woods, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it parental drive? Is it personal drive? Is it both? Is it I don't know what it is.
It's definitely a combo of both. My son's gonna be a sarcastic dickhead is what we're getting at.
My father had athlete's foot.
Oh, yeah. So tenactin, tough actin, tenactin.
We had
remember
a powder.
Those John Madden commercials?
Sure, yeah.
Tenactin.
Yeah,
yeah. Step up to the mic with Micotin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Step up to the cure. Step up to the mic. I like Lotrimin AF. Lotrimin is fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's listen, commenter. When are you,
when am I squirting one out? I don't even know if my boys can swim, and honestly, that's a blessing.
Yeah. You know, there's only one way to find out.
Listen, I lead a rough and tumble lifestyle right now. I don't know if a kid could look up to me
could
as
handle
dad.
That.
I gotta tell you, man, your Christmas card with you and your glasses and your baby with glasses, I can't wait for that Christmas card.
Good point.
That
good
be
point.
A very cute kid.
Good point.
I might just clone myself.
There you go.
That way I can
World
have the kid
more of that.
Without all the pain in the ass of having sex.
You can, I mean, what can you do? Can you have like a surrogate? I mean, are you allowed to do that?
Well, I have sex, Jerry, so it's not like,
oh,
yeah. Ooh. Not to brag or anything.
Damn.
Like,
I mean, easy. Just like, you don't have to like show off.
I'm just saying, like,
all
right.
You got a sex addiction?
Yeah, how virile you are. We see all the hair.
I mean, I would consider a surrogate just because, like, I don't want to stretch out my belly too much. But, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, Jerry, you are taking over for Wendy Williams.
I'm taking over for Wendy Williams.
Hey.
It's actually
how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? It's not hey. I don't know what
hey. Do you have it?
Well, I don't know what hey. Like, hey.
Do you do it? Do you do it?
The how you doing?
There you go.
That's what Wendy does. This is my own show, so I can't take that. I think that's trademarked by Wendy Williams. I need to come up with a catchphrase. And by the way, the producers are adamant.
Fuck yourself.
I can't do that because it's on Fox. It's on Fox stations.
Damn, okay. All right. Fuck Obama.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
It's on Fox.
They don't want me to get political and stuff. I can't talk about like politics. Like, they don't want me talking about like Syria and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So what are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about pop culture.
Nice.
A lot of like B.I.P., Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Housewives?
A lot of Housewives. I know your favorite there,
I
Kat.
Do like it. Although I have to admit, I haven't watched any of the new episodes because...
Well, watch my show. I'm
going to
catch
you up. My remote, the OK button is broken, so I can't watch anything on DVR.
Really?
Yeah, so I've just been stuck.
Can I give you a piece of advice?
Yeah.
If you're with a major cable company here in New York... You can walk into any retail store they have, and they will hand you a free
remote.
Sounds
like a lot of work.
It's really not. Just sounds Google like where the store is. Walk in with the remote, and they will literally like hand it back to you.
I'd rather just complain about not having a working remote.
I'm with Big Cat. Like, trying to get a universal remote, that's a week of my life.
Crazy,
to
man.
That thing out.
Yeah,
you have a universal remote?
No, I have a regular remote, but, I mean, getting a new one, come on.
I mean, I didn't realize you were that. No, if you have a universal remote, you're rich.
I know that I will never just – I'll never be able to hit the OK button again on my TV.
You know what
that's, that part of my life is in the past.
Man. When that remote is down, it's a big problem. Like not having like plumbing.
A real fun game is when you're a kid.
Cat.
If you get
I love
a,
you guys. Firefest. That's why more. We listen.
Yes.
If you get a universal remote and you can sneak to like your neighbor's house and change their channel through the window.
Or go to a bar.
Game. Yeah. Bring it. Yeah. BYOR.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That'd be a power move. All right. So Wendy Williams, Housewives. How's everything else going?
Do you do Top Chef stuff?
Oh, we are going to have a Top Chef on there. I mean, do I do the show?
Yeah, do you do like a recap of Top Chef?
We don't.
That's my jam. I love Top Chef.
Do you watch?
It's typically, I don't want to offend commenter, but like they want more the gossipy type shows, not like the cooking shows and stuff.
What about Top Chef Junior?
Yeah, no, it's a good show, obviously, but it's just not
watching the kids like fuck up and cry.
It is. It is super fun, but it's not really like got like they like to talk about like. Look who kissed who in the Big Brother house. Uh-huh. Like, that's not the same as, like, look who made an amazing souffle.
Is the Countess going to stay sober?
Right. Countess Luann, you're referring to Real Housewives of New York. That's a question. That's a topic that we might cover in the...
what do you think?
I hope she does. You hope everybody stays...
She's a little preachy about it.
You hope everybody stays...
Yeah, I do. I hope she stays sober. She's a little preachy about
it. Well, a lot of times, I mean... If people get sober in the beginning, they're very proud and happy of their accomplishments, and they want to tell everyone about it and say this is a great way of life. So
she's a little preachy about it.
Right. You sort of celebrate it. You're happy for people who
she judges.
You get happy for people who find clarity. You know, that's a good thing. You know?
I'm with Jerry on this one.
She judges, though. She judges hard.
That's fine. I'm rooting for her.
Thank you.
All right. So fantasy football.
Man, do you remember how much crap I got in here when I said I had a thing because the last time I won fantasy football, Derek Anderson and Braylon Edwards were my team, and that's the last time I won.
You love the Browns. That's right.
So now I've never been to Cleveland in my life.
But you have an addiction to drafting Browns players.
I have an addiction to drafting Browns.
Now you're good.
I got to tell you guys.
It paid off.
It's my year. We're here, baby.
This should, in your fantasy leagues, no one should be allowed to draft Browns players.
Well, you know, that's why I'm in a lot of these keeper leagues.
Oh!
So guess who gets to keep Baker?
Wait. How many leagues are you in? You said a lot of keeper leagues.
Man, I'm in like six leagues.
That's tough.
There's no way you remember to update each one.
It's unbelievable. I don't talk to my kids for like 16 weeks.
Nice.
Like, forget about, I don't let them use data in our house. Like, they're like, I want to watch YouTube. And I'm like, turn your iPads off. Daddy's got to do this mock draft.
Yeah, it's a waiver wire tonight. Mm-hmm. You can't be eating up my 4G.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that waiver wire week one and two. I think that's how teams are won.
Exactly. Yep. I agree with that 100%.
I picked up in week one last year one of my favorite Browns. Help me pronounce it.
David Njoku.
Njoku.
He's a recurring guest
of
the show.
I know.
Yeah. Where you're at in the old studio.
I feel the power.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have Baker, actually.
By the way, he is going to be...
A stud. Give me a couple more of your sleepers before we do this Mount Rushmore.
Baker Mayfield. Odell.
This guy named Odell.
Did you say that you
I gotta say, there's this running back named Nick Chubb.
Yeah, Duke Johnson just got traded.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah, so a lot of upside.
Over the Texans.
Duke Johnson probably gonna have a good year too.
Yeah. I gotta say, I've been in such turmoil in the last few years. Like, and by the way, you know I only draft Browns and I've never been to Cleveland. Duke Johnson has been my RB1 for the last 7 years.
Oh, really?
So that is why you stink.
And sometimes in my RB2 slot would be old Theo Riddick.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Duke Johnson has an RB. He gets like 8 touches a game.
I think we went over this, but now it does make sense why you're in so many leagues, because everyone's like, we need someone to just give some money.
That's the guy. We need his 200.
Yeah. Just everyone can, you know what? We'll just split all his money.
Remember when I came here and I told you my drafting technique where I only draft Browns, and you guys are like, hey, well, let's start a league.
Let's go. Three-man league. All right, so you want to do the Mount Rushmore?
Let's do it.
All right, so it's the Mount Rushmore of draft positions you want in a 12-draft league. Okay. We're going to let you go first. Yeah. It's a snake draft.
Sure.
Which is also, we're assuming this is a snake draft. I don't know anyone who doesn't draft snake draft. So you're going to go.
Well, I'm in an auction draft.
Okay.
And it's really...
Should we auction draft?
We can auction draft.
Hold on a second. It's
auction draft
impossible.
The snake draft?
It's really funny.
I kind of like that.
I do... I do so many mock auction drafts. I know I'm here to talk about the Jerry O Show on Fox Station's Wendy Williams slot, but a majority of my time is
pro.
A majority of my time is spent doing mock auction drafts, which I don't know if you've done one lately. They take about 2 or 3 hours apiece.
Okay, so let's do this. The Mount Rushmore of draft positions you want in a 12-player league, but we will auction draft the Mount Rushmore so everyone gets $100.
Well, listen, let me tell you this. Here's the problem. This is why you can't do this with an auction draft.
Hank is looking at us like you guys are idiots.
This is going to be way too complicated.
Wait, so what's your idea?
My idea is we just take – so there are four of us that are doing this Mount Rushmore right now, right?
No, Hank's not doing it.
Hank's not doing it?
Yeah,
so, okay,
three
so
of us.
There are three of us. So if you want to have the first pick in the Mount Rushmore, then we're putting that up for auction right now. I guess it doesn't make sense because then you just spend all your money.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's just do the regular.
I'm so sorry.
You go. You start. Oh, you're still here. Shit. That was one of those like Always Sunnies where me and PFT are just talking.
I just had an edible before I came in here, and it just hit me. Yeah, I don't know where I am.
It's a contact time.
The gang doesn't understand math.
All right, first pick you. Go.
First pick in the draft that I'm putting up for an auction draft, or I have the first pick.
You have the first pick.
I have the first pick. I am going to take Le'Veon.
No.
Okay. All right. Good thought. I appreciate that. He's going to have a good year, I think.
No, it's numbers.
We're saying
number.
Like what position in a draft would you want?
Oh, what position?
Yeah.
I'm going to want to take
number three.
Okay, there we go.
In a 12-team league.
I thought you were about to say QB.
I want number three.
All right. I'll take number one.
All right. There's a lot of pressure on number one.
You like that?
Well, typically number one.
Yeah. You're not going to lose with number one.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to take it.
In the past, AP has been injured. I'm going back a few years, but like
you definitely picked AP in your first round last year.
Well, no, I'm saying in the past, like first round draft picks are not always.
It's true. It's true.
Okay, this was actually going to be my number one pick. I'm going to pick two. I like picking second. You're close to the turn when it comes back on you. Plus, you let the guy in front of you make the big decision that you've been wondering about, right?
Right.
So it's like, usually when you pick second, everybody knows that's the correct pick for you.
Right.
So I like picking second. For my second pick, I'm going to take number 12 because I like doubling up at the end of it.
All right. I'll take pick number 11 for my second pick.
Good pick.
Thanks.
Second pick, I'll take number 13. I want to be right.
No. It's the 12-team draft.
So you can take
12-team draft.
So you can
say
you're 10.
Either taking like 1 through 12 or 13.
No. 12 goes 13.
So if you're in your 12th position, then you take 12 and 13.
Yeah.
When it's coming back.
So you.
I see.
So 1 through 12. By 12, I get both 12 and 13. If you take 1, then you get both 1 and 24 or whatever.
Right. So the numbers that have been picked are 1, 2, 3, 11, and 12.
Okay, I see. So coming around.
You get two picks now.
I am going to take. Wait, you're having me do so much. I need a calculator on my watch.
We're not math guys either.
I am going to take, I guess, 16.
No.
Nope.
Wait, hold on a second.
1 through 12.
It has to be number 1 through 12.
It has to be 1 through 12.
Where would you like to be in your draft order, 1 through 12? If it gets randomized, it's like, Jerry, here is your position. What do you want that number to be?
And I already said number 3.
Right. Yep. So you get two more picks here because of Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I see. So I get two more
picks. Don't worry. What we're doing is very stupid and very confusing.
I'm picking again in 1 through 12.
Yes.
Okay.
Two picks.
I will go with number one.
No, I already got one.
You already got one.
So I have to pick, like I have to just go down the list? This is
crazy. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly. It's the dumbest
insane.
Idea ever. I know.
No, here's the number.
I guess I'll take four.
Nice pick, Jerry.
Good pick, Jerry.
All right. And then what's your other pick?
You get two picks.
I'll take number five.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll take, you know what? I'll take 10.
Ah, fuck. That was going to be my pick.
Yeah, I'll take 10.
Okay. I'm going to take 8 and 9.
Okay, then I'll take 6 right in the middle, and then you get 7. That was the dumbest Mount Rushmore we've ever done.
I thought that was great.
I don't want 7. I want 11.
No, 11. I already got 10.
I took 11.
Your numbers, sorry, I wasn't keeping score.
Your numbers
at that
were
point.
3, 4, 5, and 7. That's pretty good.
I got to say, Kat, you have like a photographic memory that you didn't like.
So not that many numbers, but yeah, I agree. This was. Thank you for doing that with us because it was just the dumbest idea we've had.
It was really informative. It really helped me get a strategy. I feel like I'm ready to jump into any of my drafts.
Right.
Now.
Actually, it's a mock draft.
This goes back to the original Mount Rushmore we ever did. We did a Mount Rushmore of the seasons, which there's only four picks. So we just, I don't even know what we did. Remember, we did it as a, we were parodying Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, as a group, we just listed four. Yeah. And gave our reasons why.
So we're back to square one.
Were you able to do like middle, like, winter fall, or just like in the
sprummer
in between,
yeah, like that first that snowfall when it's fresh,
right?
Yeah,
because then there would be eight seasons.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That one day in February where it's like 60 degrees,
right?
The like, global warming is awesome.
Would have been a good probably one. Not a hoax. You know?
Yeah, don't say that. You're going to be on Fox.
As a celebrity. Are you big against global warming while you take like private jets everywhere?
I've never been on a. I've been on a private jet.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a lie. Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of which, I saw you guys recently posted. You were way in the back of. Looked like Spirit Airlines.
Yeah,
to be honest
it was
with
bad.
You.
It was basically Spirit.
It was bad.
You were in the last
humble.
Row.
Yeah, kept us humble.
I was in the middle seat too.
Yes. You really were.
People were asking me like, "Why are you being a beta? Why are you in the middle seat?" It's like, "Hey, I sit where
crazy.
I'm told to sit."
But you know, a lot of like celebrity types like yourself, I mean, post like getting onto private jets and like videos and stuff. And
not
you
us.
Guys post, I mean, legit last row.
Yeah, I'm very coachable.
And I gotta say, I don't know what the airline was, but I did see like a coin slot at the bathroom door there.
Yes,
so you needed like a token
like Spirit,
to go into the bathroom.
I would rather get stuck in any city in America than fly Spirit Air. That's a fact.
It is. I mean, I'm not sponsored by them. Is it bad if I talk
trash
about
away.
Spirit Air?
No, go for it.
Well, I'm about to have a. But I once flew the aforementioned airline.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny. My wife is from Northern California, and
okay.
I live. I told you in Southern California, in Calabasas. We were going up to Northern California from Southern California. I went to the travel website. I noticed that one airline was about $200 less than all the other airlines. So I clicked on it and bought it, not thinking much of it. I had never flown that airline before. Went to the gate, got there, and my wife immediately said, Did you buy us tickets on Spirit Air?
Have you lost money in a Ponzi scheme we don't
know
about?
Like, why did you do that? And I was like, come on, whatever. It's all the same. It's just, it's like a half hour flight. It'll be fine.
No,
and she
was
almost worse that it's short.
She was like, we're never getting out of this airport.
Correct.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, Jerry, no. Like, by the way, my wife was in a situation where her ex flew her privately everywhere.
Right.
I was going to say Rebecca Romijn is your wife.
Yes.
And so you're loading her onto Spirit Airlines.
She was in her previous relationship on only flew privately.
Right. So what portion of the paperwork are you with your divorce?
Anyway, we got there. Everyone's there. I get to the gate. It's about 10 minutes to like board.
Right.
And I noticed like the ticket agent was there, but nothing. There was no action. The door was still closed. And I went, hey, we're going to Oakland. I'm here. When are we going to be boarding? And she was like, what time's the flight? And I was like, it's a flight now. It's the one 10 minutes from now. And she was like, are you kidding? And I was like, no. And she was like, you have to come back in like four or five hours.
Yeah,
this
is gone. They do
this
the cattle
call for 4 or 5 hours. She went, what time is your flight? And I was like, it's now. And she was like,
Spirit.
It's going to be a few hours. It's going to be a few hours.
So even if you show up like within 30 minutes of your flight, they do a cattle call where you go to the gate and they bring you all back there at once. So if you show up like that, like 30 minutes before your flight, you've already missed it.
Yeah.
I've missed flights that way because you have to read the fine print. Plus, they charge you for everything you bring on the plane.
Everything.
If you want to wear a shirt on the plane, that'll be $30.
Everything.
You go wear pants, fancy boy? All right, that's another 20.
Also weird, I've never sat on a bench in a plane. An aluminum bench.
Yeah. That's what they do.
And the seatbelts were weird. Like, it's just that rope you tie.
Yeah,
and it's like, however tight you tie yourself, that's depending on your safety.
I've
it's
never
weird.
Been on a convertible plane before.
Yeah
it's tough.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, where can people see you when you're doing Wendy Williams?
Fox stations, Wendy Williams time slot. Man,
hey.
Cat and commenter.
How about this one?
You're the best.
You are my Mount Rushmore.
What's up, bro?
That
can be your intro.
Before catchphrase?
Yeah.
What about something with Jerry? Because my name is Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, Jerry O.
Like, Jerry, oh, no, you did.
Oh! That's pretty good. Have you been practicing that?
A little bit.
Yeah, I was
like
say,
at home.
That was too good to not have practiced.
What about like
Jerry? Oh snap!
Jerry! Oh snap!
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's good, that's too. Good.
Jerry. Oh, heck yeah!
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I like that. These are all good. These are all winners. Maybe the first show is you just testing all these out.
What about, like, if I come up to, like, you or, like, people in the audience and I go, it's tickle time! And then I, like, come in, like, I just tickle you like crazy.
We'll come for that. We'll be your designated ticklers. We'll wear a shirt that says ticklers and we'll just tickle everyone.
Cat and Commenter, I love you guys so much.
I love you too, man.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
Appreciate it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And now, Morten Anderson.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on Pro Football Hall of Famer, a very special guest. It is Morten Anderson. You remember him from playing 3 decades in the NFL. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're wearing the Hall of Fame shirt. How many of those do you have, and do you wear it all the time? Because that's a nice flex.
I got the polos. I got a few of. I got 2 gold jackets, and there's a couple of reasons for that.
Okay.
As soon as I got my first one, which I was inducted in 2017, class of 17, I get my gold jacket, and I commence to spill red wine right away on it.
Okay.
That doesn't come off.
No.
That does not come off.
So then you then got a second.
Well, then cigar ashes.
Okay.
And then I got a second one. It took me a while to get a second one. So I'm at the NFC championship game with this second gold jacket now. Hanging out with Jimmy Buffett. We're excited. The Saints are winning. Rams have not yet, you know, kind of stolen the thing away from us.
Right.
And I'm up kind of visiting some suites and just hanging out and glad handing and being a gold jacket, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm walking down the hallway with Jimmy, and there's like these metal frames that have the signs of the corporate sponsors that have the suites. And as I go past one of these metal frames, it rips a giant hole in my right. This is my second jacket now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now this thing is flapping. And Jimmy's like, oh, I can fix it. I got some glue, you know.
Of course.
And
he's Jimmy Buffett.
One of his handlers, man. So, you know, he tries to fix it. It's not working. So I said, screw it. Just let it hang.
Right.
You know.
Did you ask for a third one?
Now I'm on my third one. I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay. You got to sell the first two.
Yeah.
But I've also gotten lipstick on my left shoulder on the second one.
Nice.
So it's a kaleidoscope of issues. My wife's lipstick,
okay,
mind
Oof.
You.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know.
Yeah,
still, it's a nice flex. Be like, lipstick on anything makes you look more masculine.
Can I ask an important
Except for
question,
your lips,
though?
Maybe.
What was the score when you ripped your jacket?
It was still not. It hadn't gone to overtime. Did we go to overtime?
Was it before or after the controversial pass interference?
Before. So everybody's happy, you know, cocktails. Uh-huh. Everybody's feeling pretty sweet.
I think we got to the bottom.
Your jacket, you're the reason.
I am maybe the reason.
Bad vibes.
That we had 7 blind mice there. I don't know. So I'll take the blame.
So
yeah.
You said we. Now, you played, obviously, for the Falcons as well. You played for a few different teams, but Falcons and Saints are
3
rivals.
3 decades, yeah.
So who is we? If do you also go to Atlanta, and are you treated we? Do you say we for them? You have like a million teams. You're the Trill Ballins Twitter avatar of teams?
Yes. The only time I don't say we is when the Saints and the Falcons play each other. I don't go to those games because it's – how do you walk that line?
Right. Yeah. Well, which
You're
one gonna do
get
you do?
Your ass kicked
who do you do?
In the game.
Who do you,
right?
Who do you root for?
I usually root for the home team, so if I was to go to the game,
nice
which
cop
I
out.
Don't, yeah. It's such a chicken shit move.
Yeah, that is.
It is weak.
Yeah, at least you admit
it's weak,
it.
But
yeah.
No, it's kind of weak. But so I stay at home in my man cave, and I wear my gold jacket, and I burn more holes in my
head. The funny thing is, if you spilled red wine on your jacket around Jimmy Buffett, I guarantee you he's got a kit on hand to take care of the red wine stain.
He does.
Jimmy Buffett is a guy that he can take care of like whatever alcohol you spill.
You know what the coolest thing was? About a week after I got back from the game, I'm at home. All of a sudden, this big box arrives from Margaritaville, Inc.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is fucking... This is sweet.
Yes.
Because I know what's in the box. I mean, it's Jimmy Buffett.
It's a party, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a party in
a box. Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
It's a commercial grade hardcore margarita maker.
Yep.
It's got like this swirly thing that you know, transfers from one compartment into this other thing, and then it was great, man.
Perfect for the man cave. Perfect.
Like you
for
had
the
to
man
like
cave.
Blah, 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 you know.
A tractor, yeah, or lawnmower, awesome. Yeah.
So cool.
382 games played. Is that still the most?
That's still, as far as I know. Now Adam Vinatieri is kind of like clipping them off. Uh-oh. as we talk. Got my points, got my field goals.
Yeah.
I think I still got the games.
Okay.
So I got that going for him.
Yeah, but we got to hold on to that.
We don't know how many of his field goals came on deflated balls, though. Mm. That's the thing. There might be an asterisk on
that. I think he had already left for the Colts.
He had, but that was the first time they got caught. We don't know how long the Patriots have been doing it beforehand.
You're on your own on this one, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm trying to stand up for you.
I hear you.
You might be the rightful heir to that title. So
I mean, I played for all three commissioners, which I think is kind of cool.
That is cool.
Started with Bert Bell. No, I didn't. I started with Roselle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tagliabue, of course, and now Goodell. So 80s, 90s, new millennium.
It's only crazy.
Five or six guys, I think. I looked it up.
And the craziest part about your career is in 1994, you get cut by the Saints, and people are saying Morton Anderson's over the hill.
Yeah.
And then you play another 12, 13 seasons.
The crazy thing about 95 was that the Saints, you know, when you get cut in the NFL, the team has to give you documentation on why they cut you. So they give me this piece of paper, and there are these boxes, and they have to check one. The particular box that was checked on my account was diminishing skills, other players better. Kind of that uh-huh. was kind of the knock on me in 95.
Yep.
So I'm on a value jet back when value jet was still flying from New Orleans to Atlanta. As soon as you know that went down,
right.
Falcons signed me, new signing bonus, and then we, you know, played the Saints twice.
And you had that one game against the Saints. After they cut you and say diminishing skills,
could
you
make the 50.
Three 50-yarder pluses?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. That's a great revenge game.
And actually, there was a couple of signs in the Georgia Dome. One was revenge, like you just said. Uh-huh. And another
a kicker
one,
revenge game is unreal.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't get those
It's a
often.
Stretch.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. No,
you know,
no, that happened.
And then the other one was, what were you snorting when you got rid of Morton? I like that one. I think that's a good sign.
Yes, that's a very good sign. That's a very good sign.
I love it. I actually think that you probably could have kept kicking for a little bit longer. So you were going for the... What,
50.
The,
I was trying to get to 50.
Yeah. Well, did you think that it was going to happen? Did you think somebody was going to sign
it? I did until March of when I was 48. And I started preparing in March for my 26th season. Blanda played 26 years, less games because he played less games. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and it was 12 a season. 14 a season. So I could not prepare to be great anymore. You know, my plant leg was shot. I couldn't recruit power through the ball. And I had just come off, you know, two pretty good years, 06, 07. 07 was my most, you know, accurate year. Now, granted, I wasn't hitting 60-yarders, but still.
Right.
It was my best year in 25 years. And the way I had gotten there, guys, was pretty cool. I don't know. Do you mind if I tell you
absolutely.
A cool story?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This story is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So in 2004, I'm with the Vikings. I have a good year. I think I missed two field goals all year. So I'm thinking I might be back with the Vikings. I might not. But I'm, you know, wife and kids are in Atlanta. Let me see if I can get Atlanta to bite, you know. Let me see if I can sell myself on them. So I'm here in 2005 in Atlanta. I start training. Basically, would start in March. Now, I wouldn't put foot to ball until June 1st, and there was a reason for that. You can kick yourself out in the off season.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I did
But
that.
I would do
yeah.
You did that?
Yeah, I can't kick 50-yard field goals anymore.
Too many kicks.
Yeah. Football, June 1st.
Should have listened. Okay. Should have listened.
Yeah.
I was functional training, guys, so I was doing everything but football. So I would functional train March, April, June. I'm thinking the phone's going to ring right away. Phone doesn't ring. It doesn't ring for 2 months. It doesn't ring for 20 months. So now 2005, I don't play, and I'm sitting there, and the guys are missing left and right. I can't believe I can't get a call. But I'm ready. You know, I'm ready just in case somebody calls and say, hey, come in and do the thing. So now we're in 2006. I'm a year older. I'm 46 now. I'm sitting in my basement with my neighbor Eric, and we're watching the Falcons play the Bucks. The guy from the Falcons is having a really shitty day. He missed 4 field goals inside of 40 yards. I turned to Eric at that point, my neighbor, and I said, hey, I'm switching to water. he goes, why, man? I go, the phone's going to ring in 20 minutes after this game is over. And he said, bullshit. It hasn't rang in 20 months.
Yeah.
I said, all right, we'll see. And the fucking phone rang. It rang.
Right after the game?
Hey, man, can you come in tomorrow at 9 o'clock for a workout? I said, how about, you know, I'm buying myself time because I got to get hydrated. So mm-hmm. I said, well, how about 2 o'clock? He said, all right, 2 o'clock. So I think it's just me, and they want to see if the leg's still attached to the hip.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's me and 4 flat bellies, half my age. Now, I'm 46. These guys are, well, that's what, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that. That's a great phrase. Yeah, yeah.
They're 23,
mm-hmm.
22, right out of college. I'm 46, and I've been grinding 20 months in a public park. Now, let me set the stage in the humility that I was going through for those 20 months. Mm-hmm. Imagine wearing your Pro Bowl jersey, and I had 7 of them at that time, to a public park. I had Kenny Stabler's shoulder pads. I had a Saints helmet. I had, Giants pants from 2001 when I was with the Giants. Because I always practiced like I wanted to play. Wear the shit you're going to wear in the game. Wear it and practice. So I'm out at George Pierce Park in this outfit. And I would have to defer the field to the little leaguers and their parents when they needed the field. Uh-huh. I would have to bribe the county workers to cut the grass.
Unreal.
So that was my mentality for 20 months. All right, that's the backstory on it. So back to the call from the Falcons. Now I'm ready. I'm totally ready to go and very motivated. By the way, I'm 77 points away from becoming the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little carrot too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I go out there at 2 o'clock for the workout, and here are these 4 flat bellies, half my age, and it's mano a mano. And we hit 15 balls, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, and back in. There was an orange stripe on the net between the uprights. It signals the middle. Always like the middle. Why? It never changes.
Good point.
Hit 14 out of 15 on the stripe. The 15th kind of grazed.
But goes through.
Goes through. So I'm 15. I feel pretty good. So I turn around, and everybody's standing there. Coach Morris standing there. Rich McKay, a bunch of scouts, and I could see the 4 flat bellies kind of got discouraged, exit right.
Yep.
And I felt good. I turned around and said, questions, anyone? And my special teams coach, Joe DeCamillis goes, yeah, I have one question, black or blue ink?
Love it. I love it.
Black ink. I signed a 1-year deal for the minimum.
Uh-huh.
And 3 months later in the Georgia Dome on, I think, middle of December against the Cowboys, I kicked what at the time was just an extra point, but very meaningful, that allowed me to become the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game.
Yeah, incredible.
That's awesome.
I mean, just the visual of you being out there, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Obviously, you're not a Hall of Famer yet, but people know you're a legend at a public park. But kicking field goals, bribing county workers. It's unbelievable.
But the juice, you know, the whole thing was, hey, what if I had – it could have been a shit show, right? Because if I had not prepared myself in those 20 months, now I get a chance. Now it's embarrassing. Could you imagine a field day you guys would have had on my behalf?
Right.
Right, yeah.
If I'm all over the place.
Right.
But, you know, I went in there, I was ready to go.
Uh-huh.
And got it done. So the satisfaction was really, I mean, big.
So you spent all this time training to get back because you had some goals you wanted to hit, obviously. But I have to also think that if you're willing to dedicate 20 months of training without getting a call, there's something that you actually like about stepping out onto a field and kicking a ball and watching it go through the uprights. So, right, that's got to be satisfaction for you.
Correct. But much more deeper than that, man, is like the human element of improvement. How do you improve more than normal? Your back has to be against the wall. It's not when your hands are above your head. Everything's going fucking great. That's not when you're getting it done. It's when you're down, man, and nobody believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. In the military, we call it the world of suck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The world of suck, you got to embrace.
Yeah.
You guys do radio. You do a really good job, I think.
Thank you.
I'm a fan.
Appreciate it.
We do fans. Embrace the suck on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
You embrace the suck sometimes because you run out of questions. Now what?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I
you
only have
dig
one
yourself.
More. Yeah.
I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be okay.
But,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah. You might have run into a guest, and I've, you know, I got a couple in mind maybe that you can relate to.
yes,
no,
yes.
No names
yes,
need to be
yes,
mentioned.
Yes, yes. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, yeah. Marina.
Yeah, yeah.
yep.
Yep. Yep.
And you just got to turn into something.
You got to embrace the suck.
You got to embrace the suck and yeah. Just curl the toes, man, and go.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah.
How long a field goal do you think you could kick right now?
As long as you need, brother. How,
right
40
down
yards?
The middle.
Are we winning the game? Are we just
36?
Going up 3-0? You know?
36 yards specifically? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
36 could,
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, yeah. No, 43. 43 the Bears.
43 yards.
43 yards. Oh, yeah, the Bears and the uprights.
Yeah. Yes.
So I have a very distinct opinion on why he kept hitting the uprights.
Okay.
Okay. Let's hear it.
And you may have heard it already.
Okay.
Because the Bears aren't good at scouting talent, and they kept him on the
No, because in practice, he would practice hitting the uprights.
It's true.
You're right, yeah. So you never tried
so
that.
So your mind, you know.
You were right down the middle all the time.
Aim for the middle. Why?
Yeah.
It never changes.
So about that, Cody Parkey, obviously, and we've seen it with many kickers, the yips and getting in your own head. Did you ever go through anything like that? And did you ever – so you haven't gone through anything like that, but when you watch someone going through that
– I usually
– like what's your thought on sitting there watching someone just struggle so mightily? What would your advice be to the person?
Take up golf, man. Say, do something
you stink.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. But it's always fascinating to watch.
It is hard to – and a lot of the young guys, they get in their own way, man, and it's not that complicated, you know. Kepke is a good example in golf, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our guy.
Can,
yeah.
You know, just, hey, whatever.
Right. Just get out there
I
and
trust
hit ball.
My skill.
Right.
I trust that I'm really good. And when the lights come on, I'm just going to go out and be me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you overanalyze the paralysis by analysis, all that bullshit. I think more importantly is to be in the moment and be present.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be present.
Right.
And a kicker needs to really recruit his dominant response, his dominant behavior for a very short period of time. Most of my time is on the sideline, guys, drinking Gatorade, looking at cheerleaders, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, going, oh, shit, it's, you know, fourth down. I got to go. I mean, it really is a very 1.2 seconds from snap to kick.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably in a year play maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are those 10 minutes? They better be really good. Right? To get it done. So for me, the advice I have to these guys that go through, like you said, the yips or the doubting themselves is just to stay in the moment and have a short-term memory.
Do you think the extra point moving back has had anything to do with kickers maybe having a little more problems? Because I would assume going out for an extra point is just a nice – it's almost like getting a layup in basketball. Just see the ball go through the hoop.
Yeah, and here's the reason why it's an issue for these guys. It's no longer an extra point.
Right.
It is a 33-yard field goal. I tell my guys that. It's not an extra point. Forget that you only get 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
You have to treat this as a 33-yard field goal. And in the NFL, you're expected to make everything inside of 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10, or you're going to be unemployed. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your money kicks. Is it sexy to have a 64-yarder? Hell yeah, it's sexy as hell. I mean, you know.
You're walking proof of it.
It's cool.
You're sexy as hell.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you're walking around with this pro football polo, which I love.
Yeah.
I actually might get one of those.
I can just buy one. Are you what are you, a medium?
XL? Yeah, medium. Medium. Good. Yeah, you're right. Yep. No, but you're right. Like, there is 40 and in. If you don't hit it,
and you better have some swagger 40 and in, man.
Yeah.
Come on. You got to
really kick it in.
That's your workbench. You better own that shit. You better own 40 and in. And then. Once you got that, you've earned the right to go outside of 40. Right. I tell my guys that in practice. They want to be out there banging 55s, 57s. What are you doing? How about a 38 from the right hash? Mm-hmm. How about a 39, a 34, a 37 mm-hmm. from the middle? Show me you can make 10 out of 10, and then we'll talk about going past 40 yards.
Right. So you do actually have an enormous amount of swagger for a kicker. Like,
yes.
Absolutely. Did you ever get any shit from your teammates being like, hey, man, you're a kicker. Why are you dripping all the swag on me?
No, not at all, because they knew when it came down to it, you know, that they could count on me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys say, hey, man, they call timeout on you. What do you, you know?
Did that affect you at all? Like the icing?
They iced you. And I said, you can't ice ice.
Ooh, oh, that's great.
Great can't, saying.
I love
that's
it.
That's swagger.
Can't ice that ice.
That is. Can't ice ice.
The Great Dane.
Can't ice.
You've
can't
been
ice
in the ice,
ice. Man.
Yeah.
Great
You know man. The cold.
So if you, I know the cold.
Yeah.
I know distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 20 months in it. And then I smelled the sweet success. Right?
Can't ice ice. Yeah.
But it gets better when you have to work for it. It feels better when you've failed, to me. I mean, if my hands were over my head for 25 years, what is that interesting?
Right.
That's not really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the failure is really a kind of a cool thing?
Yeah, no.
And it builds swagger?
Yeah.
I think it does.
If you bounce back from failure, then yeah, absolutely. You are swagged out.
Yeah, and if you don't, it's, you know.
It's the end of the
room. That's a pity.
Yes. Go play golf somewhere. Yeah.
I wanted to talk quickly about the NFC Championship game, Falcons-Vikings, because you make the winning kick, but your brother, Gary Anderson, misses it in a famous way. I know he's not actually your brother, but
he's from South Africa.
He misses it in a famous way. Mm. I assume you guys were friends, and what was it like talking with him after that? Because that's...
Didn't see him. I was too busy running around like
okay
with the NFC trophy over my head.
Right, yeah. But you know, maybe a couple
I
months passed. Yeah,
I did feel bad for him. I felt terrible that because he was 35 for 35.
Right, and that team was you could say besides the 16-0 Patriots, probably the best team to not win a Super Bowl. That team was lights out. The Vikings.
Yeah, I told Gary. I said you should have taken my route, man, and missed a bunch in the beginning of the season. Pressure would have been off.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. Do you think that affected him? The fact that he was perfect all year.
I don't. I haven't actually spoken to him about the specific 38-yard field goal he missed. Same
right.
spot I made mine in overtime. Exact same spot, left hash. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just pulled it slightly, man. It was, you know.
You'd think though, hit, like being perfect all year, then getting to that moment.
The moment was big.
It's a huge moment, and you've been perfect all year, so it's...
They would have gone up by 10.
You always talk about it with
Game
teams.
Over.
Like, if they had lost in the regular season, maybe they win the championship. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you see in college basketball or the Patriots, like we just said, like if they lose that game to the Giants, then they maybe beat them in the Super Bowl.
You know, I still bust balls a bunch of the guys from that team. Of the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
and they were the best offensively that
sure.
year. They broke all kinds of records.
Yeah.
John Randall, Randy Moss.
Chris Carter.
And particularly those three guys I see every year in Canton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of remind mostly John Randall because John is great. John is, it's fucking John Randall with the mask. I mean, come on.
Yes. Very intimidating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but just a great dude. And as soon as he sees me, he goes, no, you're not going, no, you're not saying, no, fuck you, man. He starts running away from me. I go, I won't. And then so I leave him hanging like, because he knows it's coming at some point during that weekend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just make a nasty reference to that game, you know, or... one time I wore the NFC Championship gang and I just kind of like flashed it for him. Like I kind of sat there right in front of him.
Oh,
what's that?
That's tough.
I go, that's. Oh, this one? Yeah, it's we lost to Denver. It's the loser ring, but you didn't even get that, did you?
Yeah, and then Joel Davis
one of
walks
those,
through.
You know?
Yeah,
this is actually my second one. Yeah, I lost the other one punching Jimmy Buffett in the face in a brawl.
Yeah,
one time.
Yeah.
But it was. Yeah, he's good.
It must be awesome going to Canton every year.
You know, it's like a big. Frat party. Well, not a frat party, but a kind of a nicely mannered frat party with a few scary elements here and there.
Jerry Jones.
I'm not going to go into – that would be – can't go into –
Right, we're not going to tell any tales out of school here.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But good time for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of stories, and you know, a few cocktails being slung back and forth, and I can't believe I'm there, man. A freaking specialist who spends his life kicking a football, and I'm there with Roger Staubach and you know, Emmitt Smith and Jim Brown and God bless him, Walter Payton, man, if he had been around. Mm-hmm. You know, Walter, I met him many times, played Pro Bowls with Walter Payton, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that is great that you have a yearly party that's always scheduled, just like to remind you how lucky you are to be in that place. That's got to be a cool feeling. Always something to look forward to.
So cool, and it made me realize I played with or against everybody.
Yeah, uh-huh. 3 decades.
It's, you know, Jen, my wife, she goes, "You played with everybody."
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know. I either played with them or against them or absolutely met them at some point in a uniform somewhere. Jan Stenerud's the other kicker in the hall from Norway, Kansas City Chiefs. And him and I have a picture where I was like my rookie year with the Saints and he was with the Vikings. And we were, you know, 18, 19 years removed. But I played with Kenny Stabler.
Mm-hmm.
I played with Archie Manning. Archie Manning.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like Peyton and Eli used to come out to practice with Archie and hang out. And they were like 8 and 10 or something. I mean, you know, this thing goes back a long, long ways, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Who is your favorite teammate through all the years?
Clay Matthews Sr.
Ooh, there you go. There it is.
So
there
I just dated myself big time, right?
Yeah.
Clay was funny. We used to do practical jokes on each other. I would do the classic hot bomb in his jock strap. Didn't like that.
Guy
when
stuff.
He got it on his guy stuff.
It's tough.
Pissed. So he got me back. He went in. So our days are for Tuesday. He went in. He had this confetti bomb rigged to my helmet with fishing line, transparent fishing line, hit it out of sight, had a carpenter, had like one of the equipment guys like drill holes in my locker, like you know, and did these spools with the fishing line that was attached to this confetti bomb. So when I ripped my helmet off the hook, it hangs there, you know.
Uh-huh.
I would never notice it. It would go off with great fanfare and a big bang and go ba-boom, you know. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday, of course, here comes practice. And I noticed he was sitting in, because usually he goes out early, because the old guys, we need more time to warm up. You know? So he's still sitting on his stool, kind of just pretending he's wrapped, you know, kind of taping his wrist. He's just waiting.
He's looking up every couple seconds.
He's just kind of, you know, his locker was like one block over, if you will. So I pull this thing. It goes off. I mean, scared the living shit out of me. Boom! Confetti goes flying everywhere, and all I can hear is Clay, you know. Got you. Oh, it's great stuff.
Love it.
That's awesome. I love that stuff.
All right, my last question. We were talking beforehand, so you are still busy doing a bunch of stuff, and you're working with some stuff in Vegas, correct?
Actually, out of Copenhagen.
Oh, okay,
company.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're in the U.S. market now. Better Collective.
Okay.
BETTR Collective.
Okay.
BetterCollective.com. Very cool company out of Copenhagen. They've been around for 15 years in Europe, in the U.K. Through their affiliate marketing and their partners, they bought some companies over here in the U.S. now with the repeal of PAFTA, and now it's up to the individual states largely to decide what they want to do with online gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Better Collective has entered the U.S. and has hired me as their U.S. ambassador.
Nice.
And what they try to do is to enable the iGamer in a transparent fashion to help them, to educate them. We have tipsters.
Okay.
That will help the iGamer.
I always love hot tips. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys.
I'll take a hot tip.
And they will reward the tipsters based on their performance.
Hell yeah.
So it's very transparent, very objective. You know, we've taken all the power away from the offshore bookies and gotten rid of the darkness and made it light.
Love it.
Now we're all
made it entertaining.
Rich.
Yeah. Now we we're
well,
gonna cash in,
right?
Baby.
Yeah. The right way.
Yes.
You know.
I'll probably still.
But
lose,
to enable,
but yeah.
So go check out Better Collective.
Okay.
And on their website they have all their affiliate partners, and done a really nice job. And I'm proud to be part of them. That Danish mentality of due diligence, you know, doing it the right way, doing your research, not being in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
right? 20 months in the park,
yep.
hello.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
You know, not perhaps wanting or needing to have the result right now, but understanding that, you know, small wins equals great success.
Yes.
Baby steps, what a lot of little is. That's better collective.
I didn't know that was the Danish mentality. I learned something today.
Well,
so like
very
detail oriented, focused on the end.
Correct.
As opposed, like you like
but
the process,
also process.
But process, but you're not chasing after anything too immediate. Take your time.
Yep.
I like the Danish mentality.
The other thing I learned about the Danish culture today is that you have the greatest accent ever. Your accent is awesome.
Are you flirting?
No, I'm not flirting, but you sound like in Die Hard. I feel like I'm with the...
Cool.
I actually, this might be too forward of me, but we do some voiceovers when we make videos. Would you do one for us?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Do you do voiceover work?
I never have.
Well, you do
now. Now you do.
You are an exclusive voiceover guy.
Cool.
You have an awesome accent.
I know I can't be a Blake, so I don't want to go there.
No, you're not a Blake.
I know.
You're not a Blake.
I get that. I get that.
You're not a Blake.
The Blakes don't have the Danish mentality.
No, you're not a Blake.
Yeah.
Listen.
What about a Danish Blake?
You can't force.
No. Let's not even go there. We're not even going to go there.
We'll tell you.
How do you spell that? It would be B-L-J.
We'll let you know if you haven't become a Blake.
Baby steps.
Yes, but I actually want you to do our voiceovers because we always do it ourselves and it sucks. So you got the voice for it.
It does sound very comforting. Yeah, I like it.
Cool.
Yeah, actually, I have a voiceover thing for you.
All right, go ahead.
Do it real quick. Go ahead.
As long as we're not doing karaoke.
Bring up the
tweet. We can do karaoke. I can sing.
My last question. Out of all the kickers in the game right now, which one do you think has the most Morten Andersen in them?
Swagger? Mm-hmm. Man, I would say Justin Tucker in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Inateri has been around for a long time, so I like his staying power. Matt Bryant, he's done now, but he had some...
He was around for a while, yeah.
He was banging, you know, he was 44 and hitting 55-yarders like they were 40-yarders.
Right.
Yeah.
So the new 50-yarders are like the new... 40-yarders, and the 60-yarders, you're going to see a bunch of 60-yarders this year, guys.
Yeah.
The Browns. And that was a great interview, by the way, with Baker Mayfield.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we love Baker.
Appreciate it.
That was a good one.
Did you ever wear the single-bar face mask?
No, two bars.
The double bar.
Lots of room. You can get a fist through right, you know, right there.
Right.
But my teeth were safe.
Yeah. Did you ever get hit in the face? You ever get punched?
No, two concussions. One by a guy, I won't name it, it doesn't matter. Back when the Houston Oilers, guy short set on a kickoff.
Uh-huh.
So I'm opening kickoff against the Oilers. I kick a touchback, as Gary Uprimian would say. You know, I kick it. My head is down. I'm trying to regain balance, and this guy just absolutely annihilates me, separates my shoulders, bruises two ribs. I have a concussion, not from the hit, but from me hitting the AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up, I'm like, boo, looking out of the ear hole, you know?
Right, yeah. Right.
And, of course, back then there was no concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
It was, here's some smelling salt and go on with your
That's
business.
That's what we do, too.
Right,
yeah.
You know?
All right, I got your first voiceover work for us.
Oh, man, I need my glasses.
Okay.
Let me see if I can read that.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
That?
I'm getting there. Can I?
You don't have to finish it.
I can't
people
read.
Know the, people will know what that was.
Oh, my God. That's good. Right.
Pro
that was heavy,
favorite.
Man. That was, wow.
We will be in touch about voiceover
yes.
work, though. That's
you are
going to
do real voiceover work.
Yes.
That's not real voiceover. That's voice under, man.
Oh,
that's
that
voice
perfect.
Under.
That was perfect. All right, well, thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Brothers.
This has been awesome.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's get to some segments, finish up the show. First up, we have thoughts and prayers to Hugh Jackson. He is not a loser, even though he lost a lot of football games, but he wants it to be known that he's not a loser.
He's not.
Despite the losing.
He's not a loser. He tied several games, so there's that.
Yes.
And he said that he wanted something about, like, when he got fired, he went home and he stayed in his basement for 3 days. Like, we're supposed to feel sorry for you for that. Number one, basements are awesome, so I would love to spend time in any basement for 3 days. Number two, he said he just slept all the time. That sounds amazing too. That I would love to get fired as an NFL coach one day.
Here's my problem with Hugh Jackson, and I'm basing it off of what I saw in Hard Knocks, which we know that the team gets editorial control over. So Hugh Jackson watched it and was like, I look good. So it's based on that. It's based on his immediate media tour after he got fired. And it's based on this article. And I'm not saying that Hugh Jackson doesn't deserve a little sympathy. It seems like he's gone through some hard things in his life. But he also feels like the type of guy who is just trying to manipulate the world into feeling bad for Hugh Jackson. Because guess what? He already tried to do the, I was actually unfairly fired and I wanted every good quarterback that's ever been drafted in the last 5 years. And it was everyone else's fault.
Yeah.
If your immediate reaction to being fired is to blame literally everyone else on national television, I'm kind of done with you. And then he took the job with the Bengals and played against the Browns while still getting paid for the Browns. And now when all that doesn't work, he's like, oh yeah, let's do the sob story feature on me in Sports Illustrated. And again, there's some parts of his life, and the fact that he made it as a head coach is astounding and all that stuff. Like, he beat a lot of odds. But I'm just kind of over the Hugh Jackson, everyone should feel bad for me, woe is me. You stunk as a head coach. You could be a good offensive coordinator. You stunk as a head coach. I think that's okay to say.
No, I think that's fair to say. I think that's definitely fair to say. And the I'm not a loser clip, that headline, that's just so wonderful. What else could you hope for on your tombstone? I want my tombstone to just say Hugh Jackson wasn't a loser.
Dude, it's like when Jim Caldwell had to answer the question of whether or not he was dead or not. Like, when you have to answer that question, when you have to address the fact that people are saying you're a loser, guess what? You're a loser.
And I love how it's in so many coaches that get fired. They do the media tour, and then about 6 months later, they have to do the media tour for their media tour. And Sports right. Illustrated does that all the time. The profile of a fired coach, that's like their bread and butter. I mean, I can count.
Oh, yeah.
It probably takes me two hands. I could name you seven different times that they've done this with a fired coach who's just like sitting in a room locked with game film trying to get back into the game somehow. Like offering their coaching services for free to the local high school. This is just what happens. And like the Browns, obviously nobody inside that building really misses Hugh, but he's still staying in Cleveland, which is kind of a weird place. He's saying that, you know, he goes to Chipotle or whatever, and the person there is always nice. And they're like, hey, sorry, it didn't work out. Just move out of Cleveland, Hugh. Just leave.
He is.
Bad juju inside that town. Get out.
In the article, it said that he was moving in 3 weeks to Cincinnati. I can't believe he stayed for that long, though. But you're right. Sports Illustrated is so funny. They're always, and it always starts the same. It's like, man, I just miss football. I have to be with my shitty family and get paid millions of dollars to not work.
Yeah.
Woe is me. Like, and I love it too. They're always like, for the last 42 falls, coach fill in the blank knows exactly where he would be, mm-hmm. coaching up his team with a whistle in his mouth. This fall is different. He's at his $10 million home with his five kids and getting paid to not work. Damn. It's really sucks to be him.
I think my favorite one was Greg Schiano when they did the profile of him. And it was like him cooking breakfast for his family, and his family was like, Dad, don't fucking make breakfast again. I hate it when you make breakfast. You suck at it. He's like, this is my special Ranchos Huevos. The secret is taco seasoning. And then his daughter's like, shut the fuck up, Greg.
Yeah, go back. Go back to coaching. And guess what? That's the best part about all these articles. Being a coach at that level is like being a Supreme Court justice or being in the mafia. You always have a job.
Yep.
Someone will always hire you. One of your friends will always pick up the slack. So, no, I don't feel bad for you, Hugh Jackson. You could go get a job tomorrow anywhere in the NFL as like a quality control guy, offensive, you know, specialist or anything like that. And you would get paid a lot of money to be a coach.
Holdback
guy. So
don't
feel bad for Hugh Jackson. Yeah.
He'd be a great holdback guy. That's all he's done with the Browns for the last 4 years. But did you see the thing about the Browns? There was a dude that got a Super Bowl tattoo, a Cleveland Browns 2020 Super Bowl champions tattoo on his leg, which I love seeing that because it's the first time in the history of the Browns or since they've been these new Browns after they moved to Baltimore that somebody could get that tattoo. And I'm not sure if it's ironic or not. Like, I think the person actually believes that they're going to be Super Bowl champions, in which case that's the high watermark for that franchise for the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's when you. That's the arrival moment. It's not when you make the playoffs. It's not when you win 12 games or win your division. It's when a fan, a crazy fan, gets a tattoo and everyone's like,
maybe
not that crazy.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I can see
it. Right. All right. Next up, we have Way to Stay Relevant Baseball. They sent out a memo saying that everyone doing over-the-counter dick pills could get them busted for PEDs. So stop trying to get raging hard boners with your 7-Eleven Rhino Dust or whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah, Rhino Max. I mean, I'm a big fan of just like the names of those pills. I've always thought about trying them, but I never really mustered up the courage to go ahead and buy one because who knows what's in it. But I could see baseball players just loading up on that over-the-counter shit. Just like, Trevor Bauer, when he sees like any sort of pill that says like Rhino Rock Boner, he's like, fuck yes, this pill was marketed for me, Trevor Bauer. I'll take all you got, including the ones on the back. And the best part about this story that's kind of going under the radar a little bit is you've got old school legacy baseball reporters that have to get out there, and like Peter Gammons has to be in front of a camera being like, yeah, they had to report that that horny goat weed might make you fail a drug test. Just hearing those words coming out of like Ken Rosenthal's bow-tied ass, that makes it worth it for me.
Bob Nightingale and Heyman have to talk about boner pills. I love it. here's what they really should say relevant, though. Mike Trout, they should just tell Mike Trout, hey, we're going to fake bust you for this because guess what? You'll be the most marketable, funniest guy. Like, here is the solution to how do we market Mike Trout. He's the boner guy.
I like that. Or just make a boner pill for Mike Trout. Just have him be the face of off-brand boner pill franchise. People always say, like, would you recognize this person in a shopping mall? Well, if the shopping mall sold Mike Trout's guaranteed big wood on it, then fuck yeah, I would recognize him.
Exactly. He just hits dingers and gets massive erections. That's Mike Trout.
That's what Mike Trout does.
That is the way to beat your East Coast bias. No one's staying up to watch Mike Trout hit mammoth home runs. Well, guess what? He has huge ass hard-ons, and that's Mike Trout.
That's what he does.
All right, PR 101, Patrick Chung, he got arrested for having coke in his house, which I guess it was a burglary. Should have used I don't know actually if we should bleep that because that was probably a bad ad. But he had what happened? His alarm went off. The cops went there, and then he just was Tony Montana.
Then he just had a mountain of coke, I guess. Yeah, I don't know exactly what the situation was, if it was a false alarm or not. But the blueprint's out on how to beat the Patriots. Just buy them all video security systems and then trigger the alarms and then have the cops come and bust them up. What are your thoughts on this, Hank?
Yeah.
It seems like a setup, to be honest.
There we go.
That's really the only conclusion I have. I also don't know
what kind of setup are we talking about here?
Someone probably gave him the cocaine and then called the cops on him. We're like, hey, there's coke in that house.
Oh, yeah, classic setup. Someone probably put the cocaine up his nose at like 2 a.m. at a club being like, hey, this would make a hilarious setup.
It's
have
smelling
some fun
salt.
Partying.
This is going to show him. Yeah, I'm going to sell. Yeah. I'm going to sell Patrick Chung cocaine and then call the cops implicating myself because I sold it to him. I like it. I like where your head's at. I mean, this has been a pattern for Belichick coach teams for a while. His best defensive players, Lawrence Taylor. I'm sure he got into similar situations.
Here's the craziest part about this story. Everyone reported it, and I didn't realize Patrick Chung's been on the Patriots since 2009.
Yeah.
Like, no one makes it that long on the Patriots.
Yeah, he's very – maybe this
that
is,
was the
– it could be Belichick trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I just said it was a setup. I didn't say it was –
You didn't say
who
by who.
By.
If Belichick set up Patrick Chung, if he planted this coke and triggered the alarm, would you take Belichick's side in this?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Duh.
Yeah. Of course.
He has his reason for everything.
All right. Hank, let's do FAQs. And by the way, before you start, I have an FAQ. How low are you wearing your pants right now? Not to be all dad on you.
Well, Hank doesn't have an ass. So
correct.
He can't.
I'm just looking
up
at his ass. Yeah, I'm looking at your ass.
He's got nothing to hold it up.
I have an inverted ass.
It's concave. Okay. We should do a bodies issue with just Hank.
Whose search history would you rather see, Lenny Dykstra or Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones, because I know what's on Lenny Dykstra's. It's just a bunch of back page. He just Googles back page all the time. He's like, when will the FBI let this page come back up again? With Jerry Jones, He probably doesn't know how to use a phone correctly. So just anything that pops into his mind, he just probably uses Siri, the assistant. Actually, Siri probably gets like a lot of stray Googles out of Jerry Jones when he accidentally hits the button on it.
Lenny Dykstra's Google history would get depressing real fast. I feel like it would be funny for the first three lines, and then if you keep on going, you're like, okay, this is just what he looked for. Yeah, he looked for a rub and tug next to the Jersey Mike's in the middle of, like, you know, northeast Jersey at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This sucks. This sucks to read.
Jerry Jones is just like, how much should I disrespect my running back today?
Yeah. Good jokes to disrespect my running back. Mm-hmm.
By the way, if I'm Zeke, I'm sitting out the whole season. Like, I more power to Zeke on this one. Zeke, don't play this year at all.
Zeke who? Oh, Hank's
sup, PMT
his
boys.
Pants.
I've always wondered, how the fuck do you guys handle your Twitter notifications? Do you ever feel overwhelmed?
Good question. My phone.
I do.
I was
going to
say my phone acts up once every like 6 to 8 months, where it just starts sending me notifications for every single like that I get. I don't know how this happens. So I just turned off all my like notifications.
Yeah, I would say it's been an evolution where it used to be that I would see every single reply and every single mention. Now, if you catch it in off hours, I'll probably see it. But if it's during any type of sporting event, during anything that's going on that's like funny on Twitter, I just don't even see any mentions. Like, I'll see maybe like one or two and then just keep scrolling.
Yeah, if you want to get Big Cat's attention now, you have to like shoot him a tweet, I'd say between the hours of like 2 and 5, when you might be up breastfeeding the kid from your giant nipples, and then you're just checking Twitter with the other hand, and then you'll probably respond to that.
Asking for a Madden code, and I'll respond.
Yeah.
What's good, guys? I have a twofer for the people. What other shows at Barstool are you guys involved with? I found out PFT produces LCB today. And two, do Big Cat and PFT have protégés, or are they just never going to retire?
That's a good question. So I'm the vice president of football operations is the term that I prefer. But yeah, I executive produce Lights, Camera, Barstool and Hard Factor, the daily news show. By the way, those guys are fucking hilarious. Download that show. It comes out every day. It's like 20 minutes long. Just get your news fixed while you're taking a shower after you listen to Pardon My Take. So I do those. And to answer your question about the protege, I guess I'm trying to teach Hank how to get an ass. One day at a time.
I do Barstool Chicago, Redline Radio, Dog Walk. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, we do serious shows. Here's where I wanted to go with this though, PFT. I don't know if you noticed, but Fantasy Football Factory, the show that we quote unquote executive produce, mm-hmm. the show that Hank planted this question, which I'm surprised you didn't realize that, PFT.
I didn't.
He planted this question so we would specifically bring this up.
Nope.
We are not only not followed by Fantasy Football Factory on Twitter, but not listed as anything to do with it.
Interesting.
So I'm going to block them.
I didn't realize that. I'll got to make some changes. That's not why I asked that question.
I listened to the first episode.
Separate.
Sure.
Though,
thank you.
I thought it was very good.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I didn't. I thought it sucked.
I appreciate that, too. Do you guys have any respect for the Amazon rainforest?
I think it's pretty clear that we don't by the way that we addressed it earlier.
I have all the respect for the Amazon rainforest. Retweet for respect.
Yeah. I saw somebody getting mad that we were talking about chicken sandwiches on Twitter. Like, he was like, my timeline is filled with people arguing about chicken when the rainforest is burning. And it's like, you want me to write a check to the environment? I'll do it.
Yeah.
What do we do? Yeah. Where do I send
tell us.
Cash for the environment?
Tell us how to reverse 100 years of insane, irreversible destruction we've done to our Earth. Tell us, and we'll do it.
I'll watch Fern Gully tonight. How about that?
There you go.
With college football coming back, and this may have been said, but what happened to Stingray Steve?
Oh, good question. Stingray Steve is involved, I think, in ongoing litigation against a number of people, and we may or may not be included in that, so no more Stingray.
I think Stingray, I don't think we specifically, like, Pardon My Take is being sued, but I could be wrong. Either way, Stingray Steve, listen, that's why college football is the best. You have these fans, they are very passionate, but you have to understand, they can't like hang out forever. They'll come in your life. They'll pass through your life. But at some point, you know it's time for them to go along and possibly sue you.
I also think that Stingray Steve is a guy that was like, you can't put him in a cage. You know, like Stingray Steve needs to fly free. He can't be known as a part of my take person. He's on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
PFT's Gruden impression is criminally under here. I'm going to say this, and then I'll ask the last question as well.
Okay.
PFT's Gruden impersonation is criminally underrated. Is it better than Caliendo is my question. And then the last question is, who makes the new animations of the persons you are interviewing on the PMT logo for each episode, i.e. Danny Vitale, John Kuhn,
Vitale.
Between Big Cat and PFT on last week's episode?
So is my Gruden, I think my Gruden impression just from that text in is already massively overrated. It's just something that you try to do, like if Sean McVay was drunk and then just added man on the end of everything. It's pretty easy. Give it a shot.
And what was the other question? We just say shout out Triggs Draws?
Yeah, pretty much.
Shout out Triggs Draws. Also,
shout out Triggs Draws.
I mean, good point bringing up the John Kuhn and the Danny Vitale animation, because a lot of people have been asking, are we a Packers podcast now? And I think that we are, because, I mean, we've interviewed their head coach. We've interviewed two legendary fullbacks on the team. And I don't know if you saw this, but Aaron Rodgers gave a little tip of the cap to us on his way up to Canada. Him and Danny were both wearing the Canada Boys outfits.
Coincidence?
No, he was saying, what's up to my boys, my main man, Big Cat and PFT.
Yeah. 3 years after that joke was funny, and probably like 10 years after that joke was funny, Aaron Rodgers hopped on. Classic.
No,
way to go, dude. We're a Packers podcast. Fucking try hard.
It was hilarious. Loser. I loved it, Aaron. I'll be watching. I know you'll be listening. Love you, Aaron.
No, he won't. No, he won't.
I love you, Aaron.
He doesn't even respond to texts from his own teammates. Should we talk about that? He doesn't respond to anyone's texts.
So we're closer.
We've heard that many times in the facility. Everyone's like, yeah, Aaron doesn't respond to anyone. If we want to do Packers podcast, let's go off the record stuff.
So wait. He responds to us by acknowledging us, so he treats us better than he treats his own family and his teammates.
Yeah.
Meaning, I think he's probably a bigger fan of Pardon My Take than anybody in Green Bay is of him.
And yeah, he's Larry, a bigger fan Larry's part of owner my, of the Packers.
That's true.
Which means we're owners of the Packers.
That part is true. Yeah, I know. And I want to sink that ship. I'm shorting the stock.
Pardon My Take, your number one Green Bay Packers podcast. Love you, Aaron.
Good. They're going to stink again this year. And Aaron, you're a fucking loser.
Love you guys. Especially Aaron Rodgers.
Ah!